The gleaming wooden casket rested on supports in the center of the living room and was surrounded by the fragile, papery flowers that Anne-Marie and Ellen had picked that afternoon. Lighted candles stood in holders on the table and cast a soft, flickering light. The hearse had gone, and the solemn-faced men who had carried the casket indoors had gone with it, after speaking quietly to Uncle Henrik. Kirsty had gone to bed reluctantly, complaining that she wanted to stay up with the others, that she was grown up enough, that she had never before seen a dead person in a closed-up box, that it wasn't fair. But Mama had been firm, and finally Kirsty, sulking, had trudged upstairs with her dolls under one arm and the kitten under the other. Ellen was silent and had a sad expression. "I'm so sorry your Aunt Birta died," Anne-Marie heard her say to Mama, who smiled sadly and thanked her. Anne-Marie had listened and said nothing. "So now I, too, am lying," she thought, "and to my very best friend. I could tell Ellen that it isn't true that there is no great Aunt Birta. I could take her aside and whisper the secret to her so that she wouldn't have to feel sad." But she didn't. She understood that she was protecting Ellen the way her mother had protected her. Although she didn't understand what was happening, or why the casket was there, or who, in truth, was in it, she knew that it was better, safer, for Ellen to believe in Great Aunt Birta. So she said nothing. Other people came as the night sky grew darker. A man and a woman, both of them dressed in dark clothing, the woman carrying a sleeping baby, appeared at the door, and Uncle Henrik gestured them inside. They nodded to Mama and to the girls. They went, following Uncle Henrik, to the living room and sat down quietly. "Friends of Great Aunt Birta," Mama said quietly, in response to Anne-Marie's questioning look. Anne-Marie knew that Mama was lying again, and she could see that Mama understood that she knew. They looked at each other for a long time and said nothing. In that moment, with that look, they became equals. From the living room came the sound of a sleepy baby's brief wail. Anne-Marie glanced through the door and saw the woman open her blouse and begin to nurse the infant, who quieted. Another man arrived, an old man, bearded. Quietly, he went to the living room and sat down, saying nothing to the others, who only glanced at him. The young woman lifted her baby's blanket, covering its face and her own breast. The old man bent his head forward and closed his eyes, as if he were praying. His mouth moved silently, forming words that no one could hear. Anne-Marie stood in the doorway, watching the mourners as they sat in the candlelit room. Then she turned back to the kitchen and began to help Ellen and Mama as they prepared food. In Copenhagen, she remembered, when Lisa died, friends had come to their apartment every evening. All of them had brought food so that Mama wouldn't need to cook. Why hadn't these people brought food? Why didn't they talk? In Copenhagen, even though the talk was sad, people had spoken softly to one another and to Mama and Papa. They had talked about Lisa, remembering happier times. Thinking about it as she sliced cheese in the kitchen, Anne-Marie realized that these people had nothing to talk about. They couldn't speak of happier times with Great Aunt Birta when there had never been a Great Aunt Birta at all. Uncle Henrik came into the kitchen. He glanced at his watch and then at Mama. "It's getting late," he said. "I should go to the boat." He looked worried. He blew out the candles so that there would be no light at all and opened the door. He stared beyond the gnarled apple tree into the darkness. "Good. Here they come," he said in a low, relieved voice. "Ellen, come with me." Ellen looked questioningly toward Mama, who nodded. "Go with Henrik," she said. Anne-Marie watched, still holding the wedge of firm cheese in her hand as Ellen followed Uncle Henrik into the yard. She could hear a sharp, low cry from Ellen, and then the sound of voices speaking softly. In a moment, Uncle Henrik returned. Behind him was Peter Nielsen. Tonight, Peter went first to Mama and hugged her. Then he hugged Anne-Marie and kissed her on the cheek, but he said nothing. There was no playfulness to his affection tonight, just a sense of urgency, of worry. He went immediately to the living room, looked around, and nodded at the silent people there. Ellen was still outside, but in a moment the door opened and she returned, held tightly like a little girl, her bare legs dangling against her father's chest. Her mother was beside them.